Caps is not just a Western superstar. He is the Western superstar, and he is on another level than even the other Western superstars, particularly because of his style of play and his strengths. It's not just who he is as a player. Like, think about this. When he has a pop-off, he has the hardest pop-offs, and some of his best pop-offs are international competition against top teams in the world. They're not just against the bad team in the LEC where you just get to look great. His peak level, nobody has ever reached that level, in my opinion, in any role in the West. It's someone where, once you've watched him play long enough, when he's on top of his game, it's like if you watch Simple in CSGO, he's not as good, relative, but it's, you think anything's possible. You never think, well, they're out of this, or, man, nothing can do that, man. That should be really hard. You just know, like, let's just see if he can do it. Let's see if he's zoned in. If he is, it'll happen. It just will. You've seen it happen too many times. You start to feel like the impossible becomes probable rather than improbable. His vision to make these plays, that's probably the most special thing about him. There's people who have amazing skills, but they don't have the vision for it. People like the obvious ones would be like Reckless. You could maybe even throw my boy Froggen in there. They're not even trying to look for some of these angles or trying to take these big gambles. Caps, it's not even that he's looking for them. He just sees them. And when he sees them, he has the confidence to go in and get them. And that's the thing. There are tons of Western stars. I even thought for a lot of his career, Perks suffered from confidence issues in this sense, or imposter syndrome when he got to the top level. And is it supposed to work out for me? I don't feel like Caps has ever had that. He's had years where he wasn't that good. Like season 7, I thought he was dodgy. Even season 8, he actually entered a few of the games on the way up to the final. It doesn't matter though, because it's like the same mentality that makes him int and play overly, you could say selfishly, or play in a manner where you're willing to gamble the whole game, is also what made him a monster on the other side. And by testing that out over the years, he shored up some of the weaknesses. Might have gone too far this spring, obviously. And it's allowed him to keep the peak level without losing most of the weaknesses. Spoiler, that's how the Michael Jordans of the world become the greatest players. It isn't from the initial skill set or initially what they dominate with. It's when you build in the counters and take away the weaknesses, and then suddenly your strengths, without anything to offset them, become even more and more valuable and maximally affect the scene and your particular player and career.
Let me make the case for Caps. Yes, he might be the best player to ever play from a Western country. Now, you know what I think a few months ago? Obviously, I did my video where I ranked them. I didn't put him number one, but spoiler, he was number two, and with very good reason, he could very soon be number one. And you know what? Things have happened since then. I'd maybe have to assess that, right? So we're not just talking about greatness in his career, though. When you're picking now, you're talking about who is he now. So the one of the reasons why Caps is so valuable is not just even his strength as a mid laner, but just in terms of overall impact on the game. So his playmaking is god tier. That doesn't have to be the case from a mid laner. His roaming, how he impacts the map, arguably no one else does it better in the West. The jungler effect, every jungler he plays with, including Broxo, I didn't think was good, can get to career best form, it appears, and look like one of the better junglers. In Jankos' case, in the world, in Brox's, like, decent jungler. All right, fans got tricked. They thought he was one of the best in the West. There we go. How about that? So, in my opinion, a key aspect you've got to mention before we go off his performance is he's someone opponents have to deal for. He's someone opponents have to deal with. They have to account for him. They have to look for what you're going to do in the draft. They have to think about him all the time on the map. They have to think, is he flanking us? They have to think, what insane plays is he going to make? There's an extra implied pressure for the opponent and an impact that you don't necessarily get with other players, including, I'd probably say, Perks. Similarly, in terms of if we're in a big series and some of the best Asian players are going fucking ham, like could be the Shy or Rookie, or maybe it's Uzi Eye or something. If I have Caps on my team, imagine the effect it has on me. I could even just play normal and he could just go ham and just style on even the best player in the world. That's a big confidence booster. That makes part of the intangibles that makes you unbreakable in Mals. One of the reasons why you don't want to let them go is you're going to probably regret facing them. They're going to do damage against you. They might win championships against you. They might shift the whole direction of who the dominant team is, who the dynasty is, by them going or staying. I mean, how about this factor? If you're G2, you're still remembering that season 8 Fnatic dynasty, the one that went to the finals and won the splits. You're remembering how good Perks was, but then it didn't matter from how good the team in Fnatic was and the fact that Caps was better. You might never see another player like that or get that player into your team ever in the rest of League of Legends or your sport. Just look at some of those sports franchises after some of those players left. The Bulls, the Cavs, the 49ers, the Colts. Hasn't been great without them. In fact, in certain cases, it's been terrible. And no matter what they tried to do, those are once in a generation type players. It's rare that you ever get more than those, or that you ever get more success after you let those players go?
Aside from that, he has just consistently been, if not the best, contender for the best, arguably the best. And so you look at his career, he is the best player, the best mid, and the best player you could also build around in the LEC, maybe in LEC history. Now, obviously, was Perks previously for that category of best player to build around, but Perks was only with Caps for four splits. And Caps won before Perks and had international success. Caps has won since Perks, hasn't yet had the international success. So you actually look at their careers, and it's not like it's just playing with Perks that brought Caps the titles, right? Then you look at the influence Caps has had on other people's careers, and it is ridiculous. Like, this guy really is the one. If you had to pick a single player in the history of Western League of Legends, you would have picked Cap Perks before. If you were going off best players and other aspects, you might pick someone like Xpeki, Soaz, Jankos, potentially Reckless. These are the names you'd be considering. But realistically, when you get to the end of this video, you'll realize it's all well and good if you like on those players, if you think that player was better at a time. But in terms of all factors combined, there's only one Caps. There will never be another Caps. And he is the one and only that we're going to get in Europe in that particular regard, in the West. But in terms of how his career's gone and how people have built around him and how teammates have come and gone and how his individual level's been very high and then gone lower but then stayed good and then gone back up again. And this guy doesn't live in the same world we do. It's like that famous way of saying it. You say it's Caps' world and we just live in it. The rest of the LEC, even all the other players, we just live in Caps' world. The question is, can you be on Caps' team? Can you somehow beat Caps' team? Very unusual. Or can you somehow find success without Caps? And as you'll find out, that's a lot more tricky than you might realise. Oh, and by the way, I said he was top three in 12 of the 13. Oh, the one time he didn't finish top three, guys, yeah, he finished fourth. So he's finished top four in all 13 splits. That's a 100% top four record. This is impossible. Like 13, that's a pretty good sample size. That's like, I remember it was two splits a year. So that's six and a bit years. Always top four. Nothing can ever stop him finishing top four in the playoffs of a split. Nothing ever has thus far in LEC history, EULCS. Because you go and you look, the first year, the dodgy year where he was up and down and Nico the Pico was his coach, he's still top three both times. Now, sure, that summer split, they were supposed to be in the final. They got upset by Misfits, still top three though. Then you go to season eight when he has the Young Buck and the Dylan Falco combo, wins both splits, comes over to G2 with Grabs, wins four splits in a row, including one where they roll swapped to ADC. Admittedly, I would say Perks won that more than Caps did, but Caps had a great performance in the final, obviously. Then you go after Perks left, they had the one where the terrible year with Reckless. That's because the expectations were to win everything. Let me remind everyone, they finished, I think, third in the first split in spring because they lost to Rogue, and then they finished fourth, which sadly meant they missed Worlds, in the summer. That's not even that terrible, guys. Losing to Fnatic, obviously. That was the worst split ever. As you say, once upon a time, obviously he was like the super carry and even the Asian mid laners, he could go against them and beat them and he could play all those crazy champions, right? At his peak in this sense, people know what he did in the actual games. Like, he had Worlds, obviously, where he carried in MSI and stuff, but I've heard that in scrims, he is just one of the most insane players ever. He was just doing like shit where it's like impossible to even think of.
I mean, in scrims, he was really good, but he was also an enter. I think there was like two sides of him actually in scrims. I think one side of Caps in scrims is like the out player, the 1v9 player, and the other side is like the biggest inter. Because some games he just didn't like respect jungle, so if you didn't play around him, he would die. But he would try to outplay. So sometimes it would be like very, very cool 1v2s. Or sometimes it would be just like he's just like 0-6 and it's just lost, you know? So the scrims were always interesting with Caps because depends on like his mood, I guess. He would like play very insane or like not that insane and he would end a lot. But I think it's same in solo queue. If you know Caps from solo queue, if you played in Caps in solo queue across multiple years, different games, sometimes you are like looking at him and he's like such a mechanical beast and he's like outplaying people across the map. And then like the next game, he's going like 0-15 and he's just completely running it down and he just doesn't give a fuck, right? So I think with Caps, it's very, very like it kind of depends on his mood. I think G2 brought like a sport psychologist to like help him, and maybe now it's a bit different. Maybe he's like more like it's not as extreme, you know. The graph is like not up and down, it's more like small kind of changes, not as big as back in the day. But yeah, he in scrims he definitely was very good at playing, but very good at intake as well.
I told that story earlier that the coaches also told me. It was mainly about the Caps, I will say, because obviously, if people don't remember the old school, or if you're not an old school right time and stuff, even though he can be amazing and he can carry the whole game, there must be some really frustrating matches too, where it's like you're trying to like help the top player and then he just dies in the mid lane for like, what? You don't even see on the minimap what happened. Like, there must be times you're like, what even happened?
I mean, of course, I think that I had my frustration with everyone, right? I think everyone had their frustration with me. It's normal that you play with someone so many years, you have frustrations. I think, yeah, with Cubs would be probably mostly scrims in the games where, he didn't really... He would just like... take the limit testing to like the extremes, and he would just not respect, and he wouldn't like talk. Like, people would gank him, and then he wouldn't really like voice it that he's unhappy and he wants help too. He would just like take it, and then he would just be like, you could see he's unhappy, but he wouldn't really like say it. So then like you just had to like know. So this is what I would step in, because I would know. I'll know when my mid laner is not happy with the game.
What I want to know is this. If you remember when he was in Fnatic and you were just playing against him in mid, what would you say is different, or what did you learn from being his teammate? Like, how did you see him before, and did it change when you became his teammate?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was good. But like, when I played with him, I think it was then just when I realized how good he really is, actually. And like how in a way, like how similar we saw the game, like, and I get to learn a lot of like small niches from him, as I hoped he learned something from me as well, right? So in a way, it was like, it's probably the player that I can say that I played with, that like we never had to argue about any fundamentals. Like never did we have to argue about any like macro fundamentals, or like, what we had to argue was about like some specific niche things that were like so useless, but we were arguing it for the ego. Like, the only argument me and Caps ever had was like, when we were arguing, like everyone was just quiet, and we were just arguing about something that's so useless, by the way. Like, it's completely useless, but we're just arguing it because it's like the middle ego, you know? So that was basically the only arguments we've had. And yeah, it's like, for sure the player I had like... we had the same view of the game, you know, like we knew how the game, like what ways we can win, what drafts have what winning conditions, what can we play, what can enemy play, like all that was like, we thought very similarly. And honestly, like, I think we are like super similar players. Like, after playing with him, I can say I think we are super, super similar players. We have super similar strengths. And yeah, I think that's kind of like,
I don't forget the people that support me. And in the case of this video, that would be Matt Pugnaccio Racula, Jason, Jensen Gore, Nikki, Tosh, Toucan, and you know who I'm always going to give the biggest shout out to, my boy Jerky's Minion. Do you want to ask a question for my video AMA? Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content? Maybe you want to find out who the next guest is on one of my interviews that I've already recorded but not yet released. Or maybe you want to take part in one of those fabled long-form discussions where you get to decide the topics. Well, if any of those perks or others tickle your fancy, simply click on the Patreon link in the description box below and put your money where your mouth is and join the Scrilluminati today.